Today on Real Radio.
For someone to say, I do not believe in Israel, you cannot say that without denying the existence of the God of the Bible. Because the God of the Bible invented Israel.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series of messages where he discusses some biblical insights regarding events that are currently affecting our culture. This is a worldview series that addresses what many believers say are the most important issues that affect on a social level. Today's topic, Israel. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters.
There are three sacred institutions that God has established in the Bible. Number one, marriage. Number two, the church. Number three, government. Very interesting. Keep that in mind. Three sacred institutions, one particular relationship God has, that is God the Son, Jesus Christ, with His church, and the other particular relationship is God the Father with His nation or His people, Israel. And that is our topic tonight, politics and Israel. Jesus said in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? This is profound. Listen to this. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled under a foot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand and gives light to all who are in the house. Listen to this. This is a command. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I want you to look back up there a little bit at verse 13 again. He says, you are the salt of the earth. He says, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? The word is actually re-seasoned. You cannot re-season salt. It is then good for nothing but to be thrown down and trampled under the foot of men. I believe today, because for far too long, churches have espoused or adopted an apathetic Christianity and a zero existence biblical worldview, that today Christianity, the name of Jesus, church, your influence and mine has been trampled under the foot of men. Why? Because it's what it's deserved. In many aspects, the church and pulpits and Christians have been silent on issues that matter. And because of our disengagement, the saltiness of the church became saltless. And the church is mocked today, ridiculed and scorned. We are being trampled under the foot of men, as it were. And yet, I think in some ways we've placed ourselves there by being silent. We have not shown the light. We have not been that healing, strengthening, pleasurable salt that either enhances food or preserves things from going rotten. And salt's a great healer, by the way, as well. But we're looking at politics. And I gave you this verse last week, and we'll look at it again. God is not shy of politics. He understands it. In Proverbs 29, verse 2, we read that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when a wicked man rules, the people groan. Other than God Himself, there is nothing that touches our lives more than this power of government or politics. It influences everything. And by way of introduction, mark this down or turn there. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. It's powerful stuff. The next time you get pulled over for breaking the law, that big red light shining in your rearview mirror, that officer pulls up, you just jump out of the car. No, don't jump out of the car. Just thank the officer when he writes you that ticket. Thank him. You just say, thank you for being God's servant and God's minister. He's going to think you're nuts. He might haul you in for that. But you're going to want to know this verse. Because look at Romans 13, verse 1 says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, governments. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Verse 2. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You resist arrest and you're going to get tased, man. Or bro. It's going to hurt. God says so. Verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works. Rulers are not a terror to those who are doing the right thing. You're not afraid of the CHP when you're going 65. Are you? No. It says, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? The answer is yes. Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. Or thank God, in our state, it would be the pen, the ticket book, in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. You do pay your taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Well, that's for sure. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. You cannot say tonight as a Christian, I do not get involved in politics, when the very taxes that you and I pay for the governing authorities according to the very will of God. It's amazing. Our biblical worldview tonight in light of Israel. Very hot topic today in the news, by the way, as it seems it is always. And let me say this. I wrote this down numerous times, and I want to make sure I get this across to you, because I had to write it down a few times to get it across to me. I wrote this down regarding our biblical worldview as Christians, and I want you to be thinkers tonight. If we really know our Bibles, if we are really studying the Word of God and we are engaged in our culture, then I quote myself here that there should be no greater expert on the historical, modern day, and prophetic significance of the Jewish people, the Jewish state, and the Jewish land than the Bible-believing Christian. There is no greater expert on the existence of the Jew, of Israel, and Israel's right to the land but by or through or from the biblically based, the Bible reading Christian. And I want you to think about that for a moment. You've got the Word of God, Christian. You understand more clearly than most of the Jewish people the things that are so politically incorrect but are theologically essential. And I hope you're not threatened by that. When you come to the end of your life, you want to make sure that you've been theologically correct, not politically correct. Can someone say amen? Amen. What is that? I'm preaching it the best I can. So write this down in your notes. Israel, and I know that this is a big audience, so you may be here tonight and you say, I don't believe in Israel. That's okay. Just put this down in your mind. According to the Bible, Israel is God's centerpiece in a lot of ways. Israel is God's centerpiece. If you don't like what I just said, you can say that lunatic just said Israel is God's centerpiece. And we're going to look at the reasons why, and we are going to have our biblical worldview clear regarding politics and Israel. Number one is this, write it down. God's message to the world is what? Is whom? Israel. Number one thing is Israel. God's message to the world, Israel. We don't have the time to go through all the things that we could to argue this case, but mark this down. Past, present, and future, history is about Israel. You might say, well, that's just from your argument from a Western worldview. I understand where you're coming from, but that is actually not accurate. There are enough arguments in the Old Testament, for example, that cover the entire globe. The Oriental culture, the Asian culture. For example, one of those things I mentioned in a recent study regarding the flood. Every culture of every civilization has mention of a universal flood. Isn't that interesting? That comes from the God of Israel, from the Bible. Just that alone. But what about hematologically? Blood. The bloodline of humanity. Isn't it interesting that it doesn't originate in the Orient? It doesn't originate in Asia, does it? It's interesting. It doesn't originate in the Southern Hemisphere. It's interesting that hematologically, the study of human blood originates from the very place of what is known as the cradle of civilization. And from that point, civilization expanded. And you say, yeah, but that's not Israel. Good observation. We're coming to that in a moment. God's message to the world is Israel. The Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse 8, who has heard such a thing and who has seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day, or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. That promise from God is an announcement that Israel will have a history, past, present, and future, but it will be of divine origin. God will bring forth the nation of Israel, and God will cause it to be born or reborn in a day. What's interesting regarding the message to the world regarding Israel is President Harry Truman. In 1948, in May 14th, 1948, Israel was declared to be a nation again. No other nation has ever been able to do that. Israel has been declared by the United Nations to be a nation a second time. And oh, by the way, 11 minutes after the acknowledgement in the United Nations, 11 minutes, President Harry Truman was the first and the first nation, the United States, to acknowledge Israel's existence, and it influenced other nations, therefore, to vote for Israel's rebirth. And the prophet Isaiah, 2,700 years earlier, said, Israel, keep your eye on it, there's going to come a time when that nation will be born as a nation again in one day. And you can be an absolute skeptic today, but you cannot argue with the absolute facts. That is a United Nations global world fact. It is a historical fact. And it's interesting because it has everything to do with God's work with Israel, past, present, currently, and future. Very important. For example, Jesus Christ is going to return to Israel. He's coming again. And listen to this. If you go throughout the Middle East, predominantly, obviously, Arab nations, you will not find a map that has the name Israel on it. They can't do that. It's against their laws. It's against their belief system. I don't know if you know that or not. Some of you, maybe you'll have a Bible even, or some map that was produced in, say, Amman, Jordan, or it could have been in Saudi Arabia, which I don't think that's going to happen, but maybe it's a map, and there'll be no Israel on the map. There'll be something called Palestine on the map. How many of you heard of Palestine? Raise your hands. Okay, listen to this. It is important to note that to acknowledge Israel, you must acknowledge the God of Israel. And herein lies the problem. See, Pastor, I don't get into politics. It's too late. To acknowledge Israel, you have to acknowledge the God of Israel. We just now brought together the intercourse of logic and reason with God, the God of the Bible. That's a spiritual issue. And Israel, that's a political issue. God walks no fine lines up in heaven. Oh my goodness, I don't want to upset the ACLU, so I'm going to step over here now. No, he doesn't. Here's the problem. And let me tell you, it is a spiritual problem within every individual who denies the existence of Israel. It's not an intellectual problem. It's not a political problem. It's not a social problem. It's not an ethnic problem. It is a spiritual problem. For someone to say, I do not believe in Israel, you cannot say that without denying the existence of the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible invented Israel. To acknowledge Israel, you must acknowledge the God of Israel, who is himself the God of the Bible. And the Bible acknowledges Israel more than any other nation in human history. I want all of you to take notes now. Here comes the riot. There has never been an actual Palestinian person. By DNA, ethnic group doesn't exist. But I will tell you this, we're going to put a picture up of a guy who did invent Palestinians. Go to the next slide, you guys. This is the man who invented Palestine. Anybody recognize him? So which Caesar is it? No, this is Caesar Hadrian. 135 AD. Hadrian. Mark it down, look it up. The Emperor Hadrian, Roman Empire, hated the Jews. He said so. He said, I hate the Jews. I want them removed from the face of the earth. In one of the military campaigns, this man had his troops once again invade Israel. They called it Israel. They called it Israel when they invaded Israel. Isn't that interesting? And when they got there and conquered it, this man issued a decree. By the way, you can read it in Rome, and you can read it at the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem, and you can read it at the British Museum in London. Hadrian, documented fact, Hadrian declared or issued the decree to so obliterate the Jews and find out who their worst arch enemy was of all time. And listen to this. Are you listening? Yes. 600 years before Hadrian showed up, the last Philistine died. Philistine. The Israelis' arch enemy, the Philistines. They had been gone from the earth for 600 years when Hadrian showed up in 135. He renames in the Latin tongue Palestine, Philistia, the land of the Philistines, to insult the Jews, and he said so. And from that time on, based upon Hadrian's declaration, people called the region Palestine. Prior to 1948, if you lived in Palestine, you were either an Arab or a Jew. But you had a Palestinian passport that was recognized in antiquity that way regarding your travels. But you were a Jew or you were an Arab. No one called there was not an Arab genetic Palestinian or a Jewish DNA or genetic Palestinian. The term Palestine originates in this man's heart. It never existed previously. You need to know that. It says that in nearly 2,000 years, the Roman Emperor Hadrian declared the Jewish people cursed and issued a decree that Judea should be remembered no more and so thus must be called Palestine after the Philistines, the ancient enemy of Israel that had disappeared from the world stage more than 600 years earlier. It was his final twist of the knife and legacy after wars, massacres, persecutions, and exiles that had largely extinguished the Jewish presence from all of Judea. Next slide, next graph I want you guys to see. Notice this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. If somebody says to you today, in all honesty, I'm a Palestinian, I know what they mean, you know what they mean, but they may not know what they mean. Their descendants were refugees prior to 1948 in the land. But this is pure history right now. Watch this. Before 1406 BC, you've got the Canaanite nations that lived in that whole region. You say, well, who was there first? The Canaanites were there first. Oh, they were there first, then it's their land. I understand. And look, if I was not a Christian, I would say, you're right. Did you hear what I just said? If I was not a Christian, or if I wasn't Jewish, if I wasn't Christian, I would say, you're right. First come, first serve. After that, you got the conquest by Israel. Moses, Joshua. Okay? After that, you've got King David. This is all historical chronology. Then Solomon. You got the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire. This is coming into the land. This is regarding the land of Israel. Independent Israel, the Maccabean Revolt period. The Roman Empire comes. The Byzantine Empire, after the Roman Empire. Then in 636, the Muslim rule. Then various Muslim or Christian crusaders rule. The Ottoman Empire, or the Turkish Empire. 1917, the British rule. And then in 1948, May 14th, 1948, Israel is declared an independent nation. This is pure chronology to the land. This is pure politics, but with 100% biblical significance. You see how you can't separate this stuff? There's nothing in here regarding what you're hearing on the news today. Where's your evidence? Well, listen, I'm not going to give you much evidence. We don't have the time, but you've got all the time in the world to look it up. I'll give you the kickoff for the game. Mark it down. It's Genesis 15:18. Yeah, but that's the Bible. Well, you ought to pay attention to it. Genesis 15:18. On the same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, "To your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt." What river is that? The Nile, to the great river, the river Euphrates. The Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, and the Jebusites. We have a slide for you right now, a map. The Bible says the region that God has promised. Do you all see the Nile? Far left-hand corner of your map, the southwest portion of your map, the Nile. Okay? You got that? Everybody see that? To the Euphrates River. Do you see that? The Euphrates River goes all the way down towards Basra, down towards Kuwait. You guys, this has not been realized yet. It's not supposed to be realized yet, because this is the region when, in the millennium, when Jesus returns and establishes the promised kingdom, he will rule over that entire scape that you see, almost 99% of what you're looking at, the Mediterranean's to the left. This is the kingdom that Jesus will personally rule over himself. This is the promised land. You see, the promised land, you've got Jordan, there's Lebanon, there's Iraq and Persia. That's right. Isn't that wild? But the United Nations says no way to that. That's true. But Barack Obama said to go back to the pre-67 borders. That's right. I say, why stop there? Let's go all the way back to the 3,700-year borders. Because this is what God says. You say, I don't like what you're saying. I didn't write the book. The Bible says this is what's going to be the territory when the Messiah comes. This is in the Old Testament over and over again. God spoke this to Abraham. You need to mark that down well.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Politics and Faith, Why Israel Matters. It's part of a worldview series we're presenting over the next few days here on Real Radio to help believers in being the salt and light in an election season. We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And by the way, this series of messages is available. It goes by the same title, Politics and Faith. Now here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to this broadcast outreach known as Real Radio, we'll send it right out to you. I'll say that again. We'll send you this series, Politics and Faith, by Pastor Jack Hibbs, for your gift of any amount to Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention it by name, Politics and Faith. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also call us if you'd like, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd prefer to write to us and ask for the set by name, the Politics and Faith series, just send your gift and request to our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact info can be easily found at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.